Hear, O my people, the controversy of the Lord. For the Lord has a controversy with his people and will contend with us. What shall we offer to appease the Lord? Burnt offerings, calves a year old, thousands of rams, 10,000s of rivers of oil. Shall I give my firstborn son? What will it take? What does the Lord expect after all? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. Do justice, do acts of kindness, and live humbly in the presence of your God. Please be seated. There are an awful lot of headlines and changes coming from our nation's capital. Changes that affect our lives and the lives of people around the world. And that is not unusual when a radical shift occurs in leadership. The solemn oath of office was administered, and then we listened to hear our president articulate his vision for the nation, a statement of how things are going to be under his rule. Something like that happened on the mountain in today's gospel. We stand at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, the very beginning, before the events in Jerusalem that changed the course and the reality of history right up to this present moment. Like Moses, who also climbed a mountain and received instruction from God, Jesus climbs a mountain, but rather than receive instruction from the mouth of God, Jesus is the one who opens his mouth, and he proclaims the inauguration of the kingdom of God. You and I know what that crowd gathered didn't know, that the one speaking is God, that his logic is not like ours. His words and his thoughts are not ours, but reveal to us God's truth, God's peace. The words Jesus spoke on the mountain are not normal words. They are the most radical inaugural address ever proclaimed. But even more important than the words that Jesus proclaims is what Jesus does. When he saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his followers came to him. The kingdom of God is not a fairyland in the distant future or in the clouds where everyone is happy forever and ever. The kingdom of God exists wherever and whenever God's people gather and live as we are called to live. And as the prophet Micah summarized all the law, 600 precepts were given to Moses, 320 of them were negative. And then comes Micah, a prophet, who makes them into three. Do justice. Do kindness. Live humbly in the presence of God. The kingdom is the people of God, gathered, living, and learning from the life of Jesus. In the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus teaches just a little bit later on in this same passage, we learn how to participate in the kingdom of God. We pray, we ask God to bring the kingdom into being, your kingdom come. We pray that God's will be done, not our will, but God's. Be done now. Is that a passive or an active prayer? Do we participate in the kingdom, or do we sit by and wait for someone else to do it? To be it. We take our cues from Jesus' life, from the apostles, and from all the faithful forebears who have come before us. How Christians have gone about following the life and teachings of Jesus has changed in each and every era, each age, and it's changing again in this postmodern world. We stand out in a culture that is increasingly hostile to the faith that we proclaim, where it is not the cultural norm to proclaim the gospel. A world where living out Jesus' teachings about nonviolence and about acceptance and about doing for others may place you and me in direct opposition to the powerful, to rulers, when their deeds run counter to the peace of God. St. Paul reminded the community of Christians at Corinth, and he said, God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. God chose to renew the world through acts of humility and nonviolence, calling simple fishermen to follow him all the way to the cross. Foolishness, weakness. Without faith, without the community of believers gathered and bound by Jesus, the self-giving way of the cross does indeed sound like foolishness. The resurrection sounds like insanity, and the Christian hope like a feeble-minded babble. That is the tension that we live with in the 21st century as Christians, between worldly wisdom and God's foolishness, between human power and the embarrassment of God's humbling love revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of a man named Jesus. We will find our own way, just as our ancestors did in their time, as the apostles did, as John and Peter and Paul found their way. But we never do this alone. We do it in a community. We are a Christian community when we mingle our lives with one another, when we bear one another's hopes and fears, delights and wounds. We are a Christian community when we gather to enact and affirm the promises handed on to us of God's love for us, of God's mercy, and God's desire for every creation to be reconciled to the Creator. We stand as a Christian community when we know that following Jesus changes everything and we choose to do it anyway. What does the Lord require of you? Nothing more than to do justice, to perform acts of kindness, and to walk in the presence of your God with humility and gratitude.